I'm going to call this, instead of podcasting, is pretending that my opinion matters.
Giving you my opinion. Giving you my perspective, like it fucking means anything.
I think please, we should just get started.
Let's go.
Because today, no, but today,
it's almost nighttime.
It's June 20th, 2018. To my left, I got Buddy. To my right, I got Farshad. I'm 100 people. Let's talk about Carcio. Hit it, Pedro.
Oh, you like my shirt?
I love your shirt.
I thought I'd bring it up now before somebody in the comments brings it up.
Is that the hang on? What? Is that the official white people's uniform?
Only a white person.
Do you know what this is?
If I wore that, I've
never
arrested.
I've never seen the movie, but I know it's from The Sandlot.
That's right.
I know nothing about it.
Sandlot.
The lot. Sandlots are the lot. Okay. Lot. No sequel. No sequel.
Well, I mean, there was sequels, but
so Sandlots.
But nobody watched the sequels. People only watched the original.
Okay. I don't know. Double Dragon's getting remade, and Farshad's really excited about it.
Double Dragon, like Bruce Lee.
That's what he was, right?
What?
Double Dragon.
What? What's
no,
the movie?
No, Double Dare. Double Dare with Mark Summers.
Double Dare's a show.
Double Dare with Mark Summers.
Fluffy was on it, by the way.
Okay.
That's a great show.
You know what? Speaking of Fluffy, what's our fluff for today? what's our personal question?
So I saw a headline from one of the various digital publications that we read, and one of them was talking about how the Taycan is... Like what they're questioning with the release of their ad was, does a Tesla have a soul?
That's what Porsche did the ad like that?
Porsche did the ad like that. Like they were basically implying that does a Tesla have a soul? Because our car is going to, like our car is going to have a soul.
How?
Like does a Tesla?
How?
That's what they're implying. That's why they're teasing it and saying you should get excited about it because this is going to be something that, you know, is going to make you feel.
So what's the question?
So what I'm asking here is, is there a car that comes to mind for you that you immediately feel like this car has a soul? This, it brings life to me.
Hang on a second. Before we start, and obviously a lot of people are going to jump into it and say, but of course, a Carrera GT, a McLaren F1, all these, you know, like the classics. They're asking about a car that has just batteries, right? And will that have a soul? They're saying that they're going to be able to, that Porsche is going to be able to, yes, accomplish giving you a driving experience so hardcore,
but
is that you're going to feel like you're driving
that,
a Carrera GT.
But is that what a definition of soul is to Porsche?
That's what
it might be.
No. It should be exciting and whatever.
It's going to make you feel like it's alive, right? That's the point.
What car makes you feel like it's alive?
My answer is going to be any AMG product with a V8. Not a 4, not a 6.
Why are we asking these questions anymore?
I don't know.
No. 4 cylinders too.
No, 4 cylinders too.
4 shot.
You guys go in the 4 cylinders. Okay. 4 cylinders has no soul. Okay.
Okay.
No soul. Don't grab the mic, guys.
Okay.
So you're saying literally any V8
or
Mercedes.
V12 AMG. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What about you,
I just want to remind you just bought one by going one block in it.
What about you, buddy?
That is true.
What about you, buddy?
Change the subject.
You know, I'm actually fresh off of the trip from the UK, so I'm really kind of in the honeymoon period of driving that 458 Speciale.
I agree with you.
That car, honestly, dude, it made me feel alive. Like Farshad told me, he was like, when he was sitting next to me, he was like, dude, you just need to relax. You need, you know, breathe and whatever. Because as I was driving, you know, we were doing 140 miles an hour, right?
In Mexico. We went to Mexico first.
Yeah. So, it made me feel like things that I've never felt before driving a car. Right. And I haven't experienced it and being able to feel that way and the rush that it gave me, like it made me completely forget about the Lusso that we were there for. And immediately, like I was all about the Speciale.
That's what Ferrari was all about. That's why you had to love Ferrari back then, because every single one of their cars had a monster engine, monster sound, little traction on the rear wheels and a shit traction control.
Yeah, because even when we were doing 50 miles an hour, I felt like I was doing 100.
Yeah, and that's what they do. They give you that feeling of speed. So all of these negatives, like, because if you're just talking about performance, McLaren would be like, well, you need traction. The car can't do this. You know what I mean? You have to play by the rules. But all of that gave the car so much character that it made it so alive.
Yes.
And those Ferraris with the NA engines were so alive. I completely agree with you.
That thing is a monster. I love it. It's honestly, it's like now on the top of the list of like, if you find a good one that's in good shape, that has miles on it rather than just sitting there, you know, not being driven, that's one that I would love to check off the list eventually. But But God, man, like
they're gonna go up like a motherfucker for this reason alone.
It's a fucking legendary car too. It looks epic. Beautiful. It sounded beautiful.
It's everything about it.
What's the average price right now for Speciale?
$350,000-$400,000. Right?
Is it that much?
Right?
No, I didn't think it was that much. I think it is.
So here's a question: would you take a new 488 or a 458?
No. Speciale. I would definitely take the Speciale. Right? I would take the Speciale now. For the longest time, I thought, oh, this, you know, these cars are just too raw or whatever. I like the cushiness of it.
The composure of the 488.
Yes, yeah. And
now that you see it.
Now that I've experienced it, of course. So even with the Lusso, I love the efficiency of it and how it operates. And yes, it's a great GT for long distances and things, but it's just so easy.
That's what it's made for.
I get it. It's too easy. But I will tell you, I am excited for the Pista. I really am. Like,
it's not going to be the same.
What do you think? How much less do you think it's going to be?
Your piece is going to be a 488 just on steroids, dude.
Man,
it's nothing like what you saw on that Speciale. You're never going to get it.
Look,
again.
I'm going to reserve it. I'm going to reserve my feelings for the experience.
Of course. I'm giving you just a preview.
And I'm truly going to pursue like trying to get our hands on one of these as soon as they land just so that we can experience and see what it feels like.
Yeah. I know what one guy or two that will have.
Because I definitely think that we should.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying is exactly what everyone most likely is thinking about, right? When you talk about a car with a soul. But for example, we're talking about electric cars. Have you been, because this is what Porsche is going after Tesla, right?
Yeah.
And this is an interesting thing because I talked about that on the Let's Talk About Cars video that I did just now in the car.
Yeah.
What electric car, all electric car, have you ever driven that feels like madness, like that 458?
That I...
Well, the Model S
is the only one that I've driven. I've been in the Concept One, but I never drove it. And then my Smart 4.2, that doesn't qualify.
Yeah, it doesn't count. No. So you see the point. Like, there's not that many cars that you can test out and say, oh, this is going to have a soul or not. Now, without spoiling what we're going to talk about later, Rimac and Porsche are partnering you up, right? Like Porsche is buying 10% of Rimac.
Right.
So they're investing into this thing. Rimac is the only one that's ever made a car, an electric car that I've driven, that is one of these cars. Mm. Because when we got in, and that's what we talked about, like, and everyone's like, it's still a fucking electric car, man. It doesn't have the noise. Do you remember the noise he's made?
Dude, the noise was unlike anything I've ever heard before. It wasn't like a far shot. It wasn't like one of those.
It was proper F1, like a different one. And then it had three gears and the power was so brutal. It made you feel alive. There's no question about it. Porsche's nailing it. There's no question about it that they're going to get it.
So this means Matej is getting a GT2 RS?
Hang on.
He's getting PTS as well.
Hang on. Is his name Alejandro?
No.
Is he Mexican?
No.
He's absolutely getting one. Okay. Absolutely getting one. It doesn't matter that he's working with Porsche, by the way.
By the way, you know what's great? Now that he has an investment from them, he gets all the VIP program cars. He might have taken mine.
He might have taken my spot.
They're like, hey, we have a spot open for you.
They're like, hey, open up. We had one of the bottom tier people here that he's willing to give his spot. I'm like, I never said that. So to answer your question, without going into the classic or GT Formula One car, I want to say a Rimac Concept One, but at the same time, the Model X to me was very alive. I love that every time I walked towards it, it opened the door, it knew who I was, it had my profile installed in it, and all of that stuff, like all the little gimmicks. I felt like the car and I had a bond. Yeah.
Unlike most people, the car welcomed you in, whereas opposed to people are trying to kick you out.
You know how it is.
it's weird though, that car kind of... It didn't even operate as it was a relationship with you. It almost acted as an extension of yourself, right?
And I love that. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're giving that car, you're creating a relationship with it. And what's what makes anyone care about anything? When you see someone, and it sounds horrible, right? When you see random people die on the screen, you go, oh, that's too bad. But, you know, hang on. You go, oh, prayers. And then you go in about to banging your wife in the ass. Right? That's normally what people do. Or,
what?
I mean,
what?
Normally? That's not what everyone does. Okay.
I would love to, but I didn't thought available.
But you understand what I'm saying. They just go from that to like, oh, okay. Because there's no relationship to the person. If you have a relationship with that person, then it becomes real. Then you feel things.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
And this is what Tesla is doing so well, I think. They are building a relationship between you and the car where you're like, I love this dude. Yeah. Like, I love this car or her, whatever you want to call her.
Yeah.
That's something I've never had before. Mm. So that to me is, although I see Porsche's point, and especially because now they're working with Rimac, and we'll get to it right now. But to me, the Tesla also has a different type of soul.
But you just gave me a great idea. I'm going to talk to Fleshlight and see how we can incorporate some of their products into the cars.
Okay.
Just hear me out. Okay, then we'll talk about it later.
Do we have any other news?
No, you can get close to
the
car.
I had another question that I wanted to ask you guys. Because we were just in the UK and we saw, I mean, there's so many different cars there that
we don't
have here.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing that we do see in the UK that we don't see here is that everyone drives hatchbacks and wagons.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the most common thing that I've seen. And the one question I have is, like, what cars that you see there would you like to see in the U.S.?
In the U.S. All those hot hatches.
Let me just say mine, because everyone knows what I'm going to say. It is easy. RS6. Yeah. We saw one and it was parked right behind where we were.
A new one. Beautiful. Yeah. My answer is going to be the hot hatches and those big boy wagons.
The Clio, right?
The Clio, the there were so many.
That was a cool one. Citroën or whatever, however you pronounce that.
By the way, do you remember that Citroën we saw last and it had those weird things on the Citroën's a French company,
but it was called the cactus edition.
No, but the car's called the Cactus,
yeah,
and those are elements there to help dings and stuff, like, you know what I mean, like, so you don't get dings on your doors, then you can just swap them out and put new. I actually like that they're just thinking about a new thing, because they're thinking
you need those, man. As tight as the roads and the parking lots are there,
and the thing is, they're saying, hey, this guy's already buying a shitty car. Why not just put these shitty things on the door? He's not going to mind. You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right.
By the way, one last thing about Mate. I think the coolest thing for Mate now is that he gets to see all those future Porsches. Oh, he gets to see the next 911. He gets to see the next this.
Of course, he's not only,
that's really dope.
Not only he gets to see it, he gets to plan them.
I was thinking, this guy went from nobody, nothing, to now being part of the 911 history.
Absolutely. To being part of every...
Mate is part of 911 history. Hang on.
What about the Valkyrie?
And Mate, just think about it, Farshad.
Yeah.
It all started with a BMW.
That's amazing.
It all started with a BMW.
Yeah,
amazing. You can't make that up. Let's talk about Carcio. Episode was about Dieselgate.
Yeah.
Was about the Mission E. Yeah. And electric cars.
Look at that.
We're at today.
We're coming full circle.
All of our content today is either Dieselgate, electric cars.
I legitimately, the Let's Talk About Cars You episode that I just shot, I said, if this isn't life poetry, I don't know what the fuck is.
Which, by the way, there's a link below. If you haven't seen that video, make sure you click on it.
Of course. Thank you, buddy, for the plug.
So the first thing that I want to talk about is I want to hop into Rupert Stadler. The Audi CEO.
Oh, boy.
Rupert, what
happened to him? Would you please brief everyone?
So he was arrested over the diesel emission scandal that Audi is facing right now.
So VW destroyed the planet, and Audi was a big part of it. So the CEO of VW has already been arrested, right?
Yes, he's already been arrested.
And now this dude, the Audi dude, is next.
If I have one advice for him, one advice is don't drop the soap.
That's true.
Because you're not in there for a cool crime.
I know.
Because first thing they're going to go is, yo, Holmes, why are you in here?
What's worse, to be in jail for a good crime or a bad crime?
This is a weak crime. What if he goes to jail and everyone's like, you ruined the environment?
And everyone's scared of him. No, everyone's scared of him.
He runs the gang. He runs the jail. So
no one saw that coming.
So they've already received a $1.1 billion fine.
From Europe or
by the
US?
Way, that's
from
nothing. Europe. VW's had like 30 billion by now.
But Jesus, like 1.1 billion. How do you come up with that number? Like where do you stand in the courtroom where you're like, you know what, I'm going to do this and this.
Yep. The judge got that accountant hat on.
He pulls out his calculator on his iPhone. Yep. Actually, no, billions doesn't really work unless you turn the phone sideways.
Not on Instagram anymore, homie.
Right.
By the way, on a serious note, I'm sure they spent a tremendous amount of money to come up with that money. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, absolutely.
Research, and because you know they had to come up with formulas and research.
I actually don't think R&D anymore for cars is that expensive.
You don't think so?
Because of computers?
I think the most car companies spent has happened already with the hybrid powertrains. Because the electric one, they already got it figured out.
Yeah.
But think about it.
But you, I don't know. But, these car companies, though, they're still pushing the envelope.
Yeah, you still got to push.
They
right?
are, but now they don't have to advance so much on the powertrains and all that stuff because the gearboxes are so epic already. The drivetrains, powertrains are fucking epic, too. Yeah. The suspensions are now epic.
Yeah.
There's not a lot more to figure out. As far as spending so much money in new technologies, like when the 918, the LaFerrari, and P1 came
like
out.
It feels like we're at a plateau, like where this isn't going to go any higher than what it is. But I think that's what engineering and science
will be.
You're going to have to push that envelope.
I just don't think it's going to be as expensive.
But I think the money's going to go towards weight reduction and materials.
No question about it. But again, we already know what
that's what I'm saying. The more resources
and all that stuff. What I'm saying is. R&D for these mega hypercars won't be as expensive as it was for the 918 P1 and LaFerrari. Think about this. All those three guys went out there and had to figure out electric things for the first time.
Right.
Yes.
And now Porsche is just like, hey, Mate, what can we put in here?
Yeah.
Oh, we have this power plant that is going to make a billion horsepower. Let's do it.
Right.
Let's go.
I'm on the other side of the fence for you. I think it's going to be more expensive because people are going to be putting more and more technology or more and more money into the research and development of battery technology because they want to.
But battery companies will do that. Not VW.
They're still gonna have to do it because they need to make sure that those batteries are working for the technology that they have in house, and they also have to make sure that the safety regulations for those batteries pass. And so they're going to have to do more and more and more. Just the simple news of seeing the Model S, you know, blow up again here in Hollywood, that director, Michael Morris, his car just caught fire out of nowhere. You know, there's those little things that they have to keep hashing out and pushing to get better. Yes, these strategic partnerships like Rimac is having with Porsche, we'll actually get into that now. Obviously, that's what it's for, but it's still going to cost money.
It will, but just not as much to the car makers.
Yeah, but if it doesn't, then we should start seeing the trickle down effect to the consumers' wallets, which I think is going to still get more expensive.
You're never going to see that because there's a demand for the product, right? Yeah. Once you bought it, they're just like, I'm just going to put less money into this.
When was the last time gas was less or a car was less?
Never.
No, it wasn't.
It just keeps going with demand. It's also inflation.
But it's also the cost of the people to develop these technologies. That's going to continue to increase as well. Like it's all part of
everything keeps increasing. We're never going to see any savings.
Yeah.
Honestly, nothing. When was the last time something went down in price for you?
Never.
What about the Salamandra Pro membership?
That's the only thing. No, that stays the same.
Oh, speaking of, that's going up. Perfect transition.
Fuck out of here. Anyone out there who is really going to believe this is like, what? What? No. No.
I won't.
No,
we'll
no,
grandfather no. you in. We'll it's grandfather you in.
No, it's a joke. It's
hey, can, a we do a li- joke. Can we do a lifetime membership? $600.
Jesus.
It's good, right? No?
We'll talk about it later.
So speaking of the Rimac and VW and Porsche partnership, Porsche has gone in, and this is honestly one of the, one of the first investments that they've ever made in another company, and they bought a 10% stake into Rimac. And not only is this a investment for them, but it's also a perfect strategic partnership for them because it sets them up for the Mission E the Taycan and all other future electric development. Like, this is a big move.
That's a huge this move.
No one understands the size of this move. Everyone's just like, oh, Porsche buys 10% of Rimac and that's that. That's cool and all, but Tesla hasn't met a single competitor that can go in and go one by one, let's go at it, right?
Yeah.
None. Yet, Elon Musk, this is something that I love about everything that's happening. Elon Musk is all about advancement. Go ahead. Use my technology. Let's license my shit. Let's go. I want you to come up here and fucking fight me. That's what Elon Musk is doing.
So worthy opponent. He wants a worthy opponent.
And I love it. So the what happened here is everyone just announced that Porsche is buying 10% of Rimac so they can develop the Taycan or Taycan, whatever the fuck the name is.
I'm struggling with it.
The Mission E, and let's be honest, the new 918 is going to be all electric. That's what I've heard from pretty good sources already. So that. And you think that's all that they bought these guys for?
No. That's going to.
The 911 right now is about to come out with a hybrid powertrain, right?
Which is going to be
crazy. So that's going to be that. Little by little, this merger, and think about Porsche as itself. right now, VW Group is grabbing major components from Porsche. Porsche is the leading development company within that group to pass on technology to others. Everyone.
Bentley, yeah. Lamborghini.
The rear wheel steering came out of Porsche. The hybrid powertrain with the 918 came out of Porsche. Like the Panamera chassis is the one that they're using in the Bentley GT. Yeah.
Well, they're going to use for everything.
They're using it for now the R7, Audi, like Audi, all these stuff. Things.
Has the transmission gone into any other cars? Or is that strictly Porsche?
No, I'm right sure
the
they
PDK?
Have it.
Yeah,
I
think they
I'm all, sure they all, have it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they all get it. So now think about it. Porsche is the number one company, like the number one outlet of technology for everyone else. So Porsche's coming in. They're giving mate. They're not only just paying 10, like, let me give you $10 million for 10% of your company or $100 million, whatever they paid. It's not like that. They're coming in saying, we know we're going to have to make a massive investment into this guy's company. We're going to be a big customer, so we might as well also profit from him growing, right? So Porsche, what they're doing is they're grabbing all of the, like, they're starting with the main cars that we just discussed,
right?
And then they're going to make every single car just out of their lineup an electric version. VW got themselves in a very awesome problem. Yeah, they had to pay $30-some billion for Dieselgate and all that stuff, but because of that, they became they will become the number one all electric company by 2021, 2022, with all the range of models, all EV that they're coming out with.
It's smart. It's definitely smart. It gets them out of a lot of trouble.
But I'm going to tell you, this was not smart. They did that just to get out of trouble, and that turned out to put them in a massive advantageous place. Mm-hmm. When they now realize this, they're like, fuck,
let's go
with everything we got. So VW already has a plan, and they're cemented as like the number one EV regular car maker out there. And now Porsche coming in, buying Rimac technology, which is all racing, high endurance.
So the high-end stuff. The high-end stuff.
So that they can put in anything else. Let me tell you, now Tesla has an actual fucking competitor.
Yep.
Someone to show up and say, what's up?
Yeah.
Because they went and got the best guy outside of Elon Musk to create these powertrains.
Yep.
And they said, homie, you're coming with us and we need your shit everywhere in our cars.
Yep.
And it's going to trickle. The new Bugatti. Think about the new Chiron.
Yeah.
We know for a fact it's going to be an all-electric car, right?
Of course.
Right?
Or hybrid then electric.
I think it's going to go full electric.
Right.
But let's pretend. Why can't they just grab the powertrain of the Rimac right now, the one that the C2 has, and add all the Bugatti-ish stuff inside?
And then
why can't they?
You know how like everything's handmade with what they'll do is when Mate gives them the battery, they could wear like white gloves and pick up the battery and put all the connectors, like put the connectors in nicely like this.
But that's the thing though, is that Mate, all he has to do with this partnership is deliver.
Yeah.
Like he just has to deliver what he's done so well. Like he doesn't have to do any groundbreaking.
Well, he will continue. He's done it already.
Right. But in any groundbreaking car, he doesn't have to do a car.
No. He's just got to meet their specs of their powertrain.
And let me ask you this. How come VW didn't buy Koenigsegg? If they make the fastest car, how come VW didn't invest in Pagani or
those
any
guys,
major?
Because those guys don't have
don't have anything that will take them to the next level.
Exactly.
Into the future. I'm not saying that their cars are shit, whatever. I'm just saying future wise, when I started this channel, the first thing I talked about was electrics and how they were going to be the number one car out there. And whoever transitioning to that first was going to kill it. I never thought it was going to be VW.
Of course,
Dieselgate. But Jesus Christ.
Can I ask you a business question?
Yeah.
So if they buy, do we know how much?
They bought 10%, but they didn't say what. Yeah. So the last investment they were seeking for was, I think, about between 30 and 60 million euros. And they got 30, I believe, or 35 from the first Chinese group. And I'm not entirely sure if another group came in second.
So what do you think the value of Rimac is right now?
So they were at about 400, a billion right now with this strategic partnership.
Wow.
I mean, just think about it. This became just a billion-dollar company because you're about to supply how many?
So this is my next question. If Porsche owns 10%, does that mean you're still selling them at retail what you're doing or you're giving them a discount?
When Porsche comes in at that point, you're buying at market price, right? But at the same time, Porsche has some leverage.
I meant for the actual batteries. So the deal's done. The deal's done. Now I need to buy 100 batteries, for example.
They're going to do cost plus whatever percent to make sure that Mate gets...
Okay.
Because then, remember, just like in any other company, any conglomerate that has several companies, each one has to be able to charge for what they did into the other one and have a profit within companies, because there's a lot of intercompany, like...
Right. Yeah. And there could also be some sort of allocation for facility development or being able to open up facilities within the VW.
Got it.
Underneath existing infrastructure. So.
But at the end of the day, Porsche will profit from Remax profits.
Think about this. Coming in, investing at Remax value at $500 million and buying 10%. That means you bought 10% for $50 million, right?
Yeah.
That's nothing compared to the orders that they're going to have and all that stuff and the potential. That's true. Porsche comes in and says, here's $50 million for 10%, and they're a $500 million company, the value of that contract alone makes a company a $1 billion company, if you will. I'm not entirely sure because I haven't seen financials, so I can't tell you exactly what the number is. But instantly when Porsche comes in, signs that deal, and has a request and a PO for 1 billion batteries and powertrains, the company projections and future revenues just skyrockets, and Porsche instantly doubled its money literally from one day to the next into that investment. Right. That's why you don't just become a supplier. You buy into your supplier.
We got to remember that as we work with some factories that we have to own later.
The only thing we haven't bought is the clothing factories. Everything else we're getting a piece of.
Yep. Sorry, one last question. Do you think this will prevent, like, you think Porsche will now be like, no, you can't work with this company, you can't work with that company?
That's really interesting, because the first thing that I thought when I was reading everything was Koenigsegg.
Yep.
Are they going to still provide maybe they're just going to finish their contract with that?
Yeah, actually, that could be.
But also, because you have to remember, most likely someone at Koenigsegg is trying to pirate that technology, right? And just make it on their own, because why would you third party that?
Absolutely.
So it's in VW's best interest and Porsche's best interest and Mate's best interest
to
cut that shit out.
Yeah.
If you have a lower end brand that can act, because Christian's a fucking genius, right?
Yeah.
He can make anything. Like, I'm sure that if you show him how to do something, he can learn.
Call one of those guys, huh?
But you see what I'm saying, right? You don't want that guy opening your stuff and saying, this is what you're giving VW? Okay, let's go. This is what I'm going to do. And then that guy's going to become, because they have the money, they can start their little electric company. But, so if I was them, I'd cut it out. But unless they have a certain deal where they don't know anything, they can't touch open anything, but I doubt that that's going
to
be the case.
I'd love to be in the room when they start going like, we can't work with this guy, and work through all those.
All the little details. And he's like, what's it worth to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Because also, there's a bunch of cars that Rimac is working on that no one knows.
You have to respect Porsche's.
And their brands this size. Yeah,
you got to respect Porsche's request when they do go, hey, please don't work with this guy because this reason.
Absolutely. There's another strategic partnership that has developed over the last few days, and that's one between Ford and Volkswagen.
Yes!
It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different than this one with Porsche and Rimac, because, you know, Porsche is buying into Rimac, right? They're buying into it, where with Ford and Volkswagen, you know, they've made it pretty clear that they're not going to have any equity stake between the two. This is something where they want to focus on being able to produce vehicles faster and more efficiently.
But they want to focus on
commercial vehicles.
Yes.
So it's more of a commercial vehicle partnership, which is very interesting. I like seeing the Volkswagen group diversifying, exactly. Like, not keeping everything in house and focusing on saying, you know what, I'm going to do what's best for the company and work as efficiently as possible. Here's one company that's doing things great. We're doing this great. Maybe together we can do something even better than that.
And they have Raptors, and maybe we can get some Raptors also. Like, don't you think the Volkswagen Group wants some Raptors? And so they're
just for their employees, right? Not for anything else.
Right. But it's also interesting because Ford is also like very into doing strategic partnerships right now. They did the one with General Motors over the 10-speed transmission, which was a huge success. And now people are starting to reduce their costs by doing this.
You see
somebody that's mastering at one thing and you're very good at another. Why not take advantage of it? Like, work together, like, let that synergy like set in and really take hold.
And if you really get to read this article, and if you start looking and reading in between the lines, it seems that what they want is help with production.
Yeah.
Hey, AVW, I have a few cars here I'm making my cars here in the U.S., but I need to produce some in Africa. And you have this wonderful plant there. Do you mind just making those for me? It's kind of like licensing your name.
Yeah.
The weird thing about this is it's two companies that are setting up this type of a let's work together relationship,
joint
right?
Venture.
Joint venture without really swapping any equity for
joint
one another.
Joint venture is exactly what it is.
But they don't own the production facilities themselves. There's people like I have a friend that owns a certain brand all over the Middle East and some of Europe.
Yeah.
And Asia, actually.
Okay.
Middle East and Asia. And it's a massive brand. Think about like VW.
Okay.
And his family owns that. So the company that I'm saying goes, hey, I need you to produce 80 million Camrys. And they go and produce the 80 million Camrys. What I don't understand is how those people that own these companies, what their relationship is with the car maker, and how can they combine those people together? Because again, maybe Ford owns all of the places where they make the cars, but I'm telling you, other brands in other countries, they don't.
By the way, like China, you know, you need to, if you want, like for example, Mercedes wants to go to China, right? You can't, you have to partner up with a Chinese
company will produce.
So what they'll do is a Chinese company will get the license to make those Mercedes in China.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Why are we talking about this? Gosh, 10, 15 podcasts ago where we were talking about the chicken tax. If this is a commercial vehicle thing, that could also be
just so you know, this is, I'm sure this is one
taxes,
of
taxes, production, because everything.
Yeah, because the Europeans don't have any pickup trucks or utility vehicles here because of the 25% chicken tax.
Yeah.
So this is perfect. You tell Ford, hey, can you manufacture these for me? Here are the specs that I want. Even if, or.
And do you think they're going to come out as Ford vehicles or will they come out as VW vehicles?
Yeah, but
that would be interesting because it's a German company. They're just sharing that you can put your VW thing.
Because you got to look at the fine.
It's interesting.
You got to read the small print, right? On that rule, what is it? I think the rule is a car can't come from Europe here because you get that tax once it enters.
Or the parts.
Once it enters here, because the thing is, it's already here. It's already like Ford is manufacturing for you.
Yeah, you don't have to import any pieces. You have everything. So whatever works with you too that you have in common with in your production lines, you can make work. It's just weird the relationship between the people making the cars all over the world and the car makers themselves and those people's relationships between each other. Because why can they just undercut the brands and start doing deals?
Right.
And I'm guessing obviously the brands have a deal with them where if you make another car from another company,
then
you're out. We're giving some other dude the license and let's go. But it's weird, right?
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's not a simple straight shot like everyone sees.
So does this mean we're getting a GTI Raptor?
or a GTI Raptor?
Which one are you getting? Type R. Raptor.
I don't know, but I love this. I love this.
Are you going to do it like a Harlequin though?
Hey, you should
Harlequin Raptor.
If they make it, fuck it. In honor of VW, let's go.
Do it.
Yeah.
When do you want to see that?
I think it'd just be cool. It'd be fun. Just once is enough.
I love how Ford is like, we're cutting all the cars. We're just going straight into utility vehicles and Volkswagen.
Okay. Absolutely. Which brings up another point with Ford. I mean, we've seen another relationship with Ford kind of blossom over the last couple of days, and that's John Cena.
What's the conclusion? Oh.
Guys, they settled. They settled the lawsuit.
Hang on, so explain what the lawsuit was about.
So
just for those watching for the first time.
So if you're watching this for the first time, John Cena, a professional wrestler, actor, he's a big entertainer. Physically, he's big as well.
Also.
But he was allocated one of the new Ford GTs. He was actually one of the first ones to receive a delivery of it, and he did a video of you know how much he liked it.
And then he sold it right away.
Yeah, and then he ended up selling it right away, and that was completely against the contract. You couldn't sell within 2 years of receiving the car.
That's right.
Well, him and his lawyers argued.
Well, hang on. They went into it because John sold the car, so Ford sued the shit out of John.
Yeah, they
the
went
dealership
in
that sold him the car and whatnot. So that's been a big scandal.
So then John Cena and his lawyer, they argued that, oh, well, it was on the allocation contract, but it wasn't on the actual, you know,
purchase agreement.
So he felt that he had a right. That didn't hold up in court. And then ultimately they realized that each one of them were like, I'm done. Like, guys, let's...
No, it was more like John Cena looking to his lawyer going, how much is this going to cost me?
Yeah,
and the lawyer told him how much, and he goes, let's settle.
Exactly. So they were able to settle, and the money from that settlement is going to a charity. So the good news is that he will be able to write that off.
So they go...
Oh, this right?
So him and Ford, they both made a charitable donation to whatever charity to make good. Yeah. So that Ford doesn't look like a complete psychopath piece of shit that doesn't want you to sleep with anybody else, right?
Yeah.
Like your ex with anybody else, and for John Cena, just hey, this is going to make us look good. That's it. What is $500,000, which is what they settled for? $500,000.
You know
right?
that?
Yeah, that's what they. I read it somewhere that they settled for $500,000. If they settled for $500,000, what's that? Yeah,
they requested $500,000.
What's going to do for Ford? Legit. What is Ford?
By the way, it's just
a statement to any other owners.
Yeah, exactly. Also, by the way, exactly John had to make another extra $500,000 on that. That's just the cost of the car. I'm pretty sure he sold it for $1 million over.
Oh, got it. So, it all worked out. Everyone got a little piece.
Everybody won. Right? Everybody won. And everyone got more publicity, too.
We got content.
Here's what Senna said. I love the Ford GT and apologize to Ford, and I encourage others who own the car to respect the contract.
that kind of sounds like a settlement.
Somebody wrote that down.
Also, Mr. Cena,
you gotta say this, Mr. Cena. Cena.
We also need you to say this, please. And if you can at the end, go rah.
What if he does? I would love to see that. But that was an interesting story on how he developed.
It was a weird case that we were able to follow.
It shows you the power of money in lawsuits.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's all that matters.
By the way, speaking of other lawsuits, do you guys want to you want to dive into more lawsuits?
Always.
Okay. So
always ready.
What has happened this week is one of the craziest stories that I've ever heard, and this is coming out of Tesla. Okay.
Did you guys see this? I think I kind of know. One? Okay.
So there was a former engineer So there was an engineer for Tesla, and he wanted a raise and he wanted a promotion, and they didn't give it to him. And so he acted out and basically sabotaged Tesla. He went in and was changing code under some different alias and username within the system. So like the owner's management system, he went through there. He was reporting that batteries were punctured. Like he was causing a lot of problems.
He also stole a lot of design software elements and started sending it to other
people. Wait, is this Fisker or another person?
No, another person too.
Not Fisker?
No.
Because you mentioned...
so they found out who it was. They found the guy, and now Tesla is suing
the dude,
the guy, and like they're going all in on him.
Yeah,
like this is a big.
But I wonder if revealing secrets. He was telling people that Tesla was putting batteries on the Model X that had punctures in them, and they didn't care, and all of that stuff. Yeah. So he was stealing secrets. He was spreading bad
shit. Criminal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This dude is fucked. So he hacked the manufacturing operating system, and he was like transferring like gigabytes and terabytes of data to outside entities. Just trying to Fisker.
Probably because no one knows where they went.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
What other car company needs like dirty help?
Hey, by the way, remember back in the day, the way he had to get all the information was like a little camera that goes.
You remember those? The little spy camera?
Oh, absolutely.
The gray one?
Hey, we got to bring those back.
but not so it doesn't end there with just a lawsuit. So Elon, he sent out an email to all of the employees, just basically kind of explaining what happened. And he is suggesting that this guy is possibly not working on his
alone.
Own. You know, he's suggesting that, you know, there's a lot of outside entities that, you know, want to see Tesla fail, whether it be the oil field industry, you know, other diesel and gasoline car companies.
Exhaust companies.
Yeah, exhaust companies, exactly. He's suggesting that, you know, somebody else could be behind this with him.
Oh, I got you. You
know, he's absolutely right. You just see how these journalists write about Tesla. You can tell he's not paying them, and they're mad as fuck.
There's sabotage, you know what I mean? And espionage. Yeah.
Absolutely.
They are, because this is changing a full industry, and including like the old media. This is why every car magazine hates on Tesla all the time and wants him to fail, because they're like, why are you not paying me to say good things and for you to win the car of the year?
It's like the mafia. Like, hey, I don't think you understand how this works over here.
That's exactly right. That's how it's operated.
But what they don't understand is that Elon is now a public figure.
Right.
He's not only an influencer. I mean, he's other level shit.
His Twitter has more reach than all those car magazines combined.
In a single tweet.
Yeah.
Like a single tweet just gets more views than
Who else has a car in space? Yeah. Who else? I mean, come on.
That is baller as shit.
Now look, I don't wish bad on them with this lawsuit. I do hope that it just stops with this guy. Like this is a one man show. But there's another side of me that kind of hopes that there's like multiple layers involved with this.
Yeah, for the gossip,
so,
right?
So just for the gossip, the story, the content.
So you can make a movie out of it?
That's exactly right.
Buddy's like getting a movie. Buddy's, do you mean an Instagram TV story?
Oh,
hey, this is worth more than
on the 9x16.
No. I'm pretty sure the 9x16 will work.
I worked all my life to get to 16x9,
and now you're being 9x16.
Fucking life.
Does that hurt?
Yeah, it does.
So in more collaborations and strategic partnerships, and
Jake Paul and Logan Paul,
and also electric cars. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see this? What was it called? An electrification transportation accord that was signed between General Motors, Honda, and multiple other companies. You looked into this a little more. Can you fill us in what's going on?
Basically, all these companies are just getting together and saying, look, it's better for the environment. It's better for the world. It's less emissions. It's less everything. It's just the future. They're all agreeing that electric is all the future, and they should all work together. No bullshit anymore, and not like, I'm going to stop making manual cars, and then you go back naturally aspirated manual. Like, yeah, right. That's basically what this agreement is. I don't want to get into all the details in one by one, but that's mostly it.
I thought
they want to get to a certain year where they're going to electrify every single car within their company.
Yeah. So one thing that they're aiming to do is they want to not only just build an infrastructure. Right? Like not just focus on this infrastructure.
On the cars. They want to focus also on the infrastructure.
Yeah, but not just focusing on the infrastructure behind like building the charging stations the charging stations, but also building an intelligent support system behind them, like making sure that there's people that can, you know, take care of it and support it.
But one thing you guys missed is all the way at the end, they also said that they're going to have a universal dongle. That's one of the biggest reasons they're getting together.
I just scrolled all the way down to the bottom, you piece of shit.
Oh my God.
In the small print, they're going to have a dongle. They're going to have a dongle.
No, but they will. It's a good thing that all these car companies are getting together because they're all saying this is going to be the charging thing that we're all going to use. This is going to be. Now, is Tesla part of that accord? Probably not.
No, because it's everyone against Tesla.
So now that might be the, oh yeah, we're going to do this. The thing is, Tesla has already started this a very long time ago.
Yeah.
And the infrastructure that Tesla already owns is massive. So they have no choice but to go with Tesla's infrastructure and license that deal, right? Either way, this is a great thing, and I'm looking forward to the future with all electric cars.
Yeah, no, it's going to be awesome.
Because I'm still going to have my car at GT.
It's going to be funny when we start seeing one by one these gas stations like convert to electric charging.
I mean, there's many places they already are.
Can you imagine how many hipsters are going to be just standing there?
Well, that's the crazy thing about it is right now, all of our gas stations, they're built with the minute markets where it's like, you know, quick in and out type of thing.
Yeah.
Now they're going to have to be
take
like,
your time a little bit.
You need some more benches and chairs because it's going to be
coffee,
a 10 to 15
you
minute
know
power charge.
That, hang on. Retail might be disappearing, but gas stations could be a great place to do retail, right?
Absolutely.
Again, because that's going to be
absolutely
one place where you're going to have to stop by for a few years and spend.
That's actually really
15, interesting. 20 minutes.
Really interesting. Yeah. You take these malls and shit and just turn them into quick charging stations.
Boom, boom, boom.
Amenities and mm-hmm. Wi-Fi and all that kind of
stuff. Yeah,
shit.
Because
actually,
otherwise.
You know what? That's the way to go. Wow.
Yeah, of course.
That is the way to go.
Of course. That's like, fucking awesome.
You know that lot we saw? I can't say the name, but the lot we saw.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like imagine that, converting that, right, into quick, like a charging station.
Yeah,
you come there, you wait 15 minutes, you charge your car, you get a haircut, you get some groceries, food, coffee, whatever it is, and you're out of there.
Yeah, that's awesome. That would be the ideal scenario, right, for everything.
That's huge.
I love to see that.
We may have to cut this part out of the podcast.
Because I'm going to steal that. Yeah,
this is inevitably going to happen by itself, just like everything else.
Would you rather be at the forefront of it or somewhere in the middle?
I can still do that. Just wait until when people start losing faith in gas stations.
Yeah,
that's when the market's going to be at the bottom, and all you do is buy like a couple, and then start your licensing program, like a restaurant, like a McDonald's or any of those.
And you want to know what I'm going
to? There you go. So there you go.
You want
to you do it.
You want to know what I'm those locations?
What
my social hubs.
Pubs?
Yeah, you don't have the trademark for that one, do you?
Mm.
Basically, you know the truck stop, you know the truck stops that provide everything for the truckers?
Yep.
It's just going to be that for
but now because it's for everyone, you're Forever 21, you're major retailers right there.
Oh, this is huge. I love this idea. This whole concept is going to bring retail back.
Yep.
It in a different way. Yeah. Absolutely. It's not going to be major malls, whatever. It's going to be your shows where you can see the stuff that you're going to buy online. Yep. That's the way I see it. And also some, right? Because they can hold it. I like that.
I see more of like a whole, I don't care about Whole Foods, but like a place to go get stuff done and then get your car charged and leave.
Of course. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, efficiency.
And also, if you start licensing those chargers into shopping malls to make it like a
like
a must that you got to go, you want to charge, just go to the Grove, charge your car for not for free, but there it is, like an easy whatever.
Yeah.
You park your car in the middle of it, you get out, you start.
And you know what? You can get a charging validation with a purchase of, you know.
That'd be nice too. That'd be nice too.
That's all I got for today, man.
That's all you got for us? Fergini, do you have any good news and bad news?
I actually do.
Oh, man. I guess it's time to jump into Fergini's bad news and good news. Don't snooze on the bad news.
With Fergini. Okay, here we go.
Let's go.
Ivan, can we add music to that one this time?
Please.
Thank you.
Please.
McLaren. Actually, big McLaren news.
Good news?
This is good news. McLaren P1 GT Longtail by Lanzante teased online.
Oh,
the
that
McLaren
is good news.
P1 GT Longtail by Lanzante.
That is good news. What's the bad news?
Sorry, Alejandro. They will not offer you a short tail version either.
Wow.
I guess we can end the episode on that one.
There you go.
That's a pretty good burn.
That was a good ending one. I hope
these
you got
will
a great
ending. These will not be as good. Okay, here we go. News. Jaguar Rover moving Discovery production to Slovakia.
That is good news. Cutting a lot of money there. What's the bad news on that?
Do you really have to ask what the bad news is?
Yeah.
Slovakia? Jesus Christ. Here we go. We can't find any other third world European countries.
Where's Slovakia located?
Buddy, that's the whole point of this.
Where's it located?
Do you want your Land Rover? The Range Rover already has problems. Do you now want a Range Rover from Slovakia?
I don't want a Range Rover to start.
Hey, at least the Range Rover is going to get a good shakedown.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Each Slovakia coming out of the factory will have been.
Slovakia, I don't know anything about your country, so all of these are jokes in case you guys take it. I am a Slovakian.
Okay.
I'm Slovenian. I kill you. I don't know. I don't even know how you guys talk. I'm sorry. I know you're Russian, but.
Guru, do you remember we were talking about the Suzuki Jimny?
Yes, but
the Jimny or the Jimny?
No, the Suzuki Jimny. Okay. I was showing you.
Yeah. What's the good news with the Suzuki?
The Suzuki Jimny finally to debut July 5th.
That is good news for you. What's the bad news?
The Suzuki Jimny to finally debut on July 5th. We know the world. By the way, the world doesn't need a new Jimny. What the? Who the fuck is gonna buy a Jimny?
The world doesn't need a Suzuki car.
I think it's a Jimny.
No, it's Jimmy. I think it's Jimmy. Let us know if it's Suzuki.
Get ready to be like, oh, you're a car guy and you don't even know the name of the Jimny.
All right, last one. You guys know John Olsen, right?
Yeah.
He's a champion skier.
Correct.
He's got that crazy, crazy Wraith.
Yeah. Okay, the Wraith and then the 4x4.
So the good news is you can now buy John Olsen's bonkers 810 horsepower Rolls Royce Wraith.
That is good news.
That's crazy, right?
What's the bad news?
Oh, man. This car also depreciates just as fast as John Olsen skiing down the mountain.
Wow. That is that is true.
That's all I have.
Fast depreciating assets and John Olsen's coming down the mountain. So well done, Fergini.
Thank you.
Hey, as always, guys, thank you very much for listening to us and for everyone that's sharing their stories on Salamandri.com. We really appreciate you. To my right, I got Fergini. To my left, I got Buddy. I am Alejandro. Thank you very much for your time and for listening and watching. Have a good one. See you guys later.